gotten up and shared has shared part of my message. So we are all on the same page today. Marty talked about light, which is part of what I'm talking about. We've been talking about the battle belongs to the Lord, which is also the other part of what I'm talking about. So I think the Lord really has a message for us this morning that he really wants to drive home. So today I'm going to talk about the verse, "Be still and know that he is God." Okay? So my sister-in-law just went on this white raw water rafting adventure, if you will. And they went to a river that's normally like a class 2 river. This was down in North Carolina. It had rained for like 4 days before they went. And she literally almost died on the river. The first big rapid, which she says is called the Big Pillow, threw them all out of the boat, including their guide, who was apparently incapacitated by it, and they had to drag him onto the boat. And she got sucked under the boat and was drowning and had to let go and surrender, if you will, to the rapids and got carried downriver. Meanwhile, her husband didn't see her get out from under the boat and thought she was dead and was beside himself for a couple hours until they reunited later. But all of that to say, the only way she survived was by letting go. She was clinging to the raft, thinking, oh, if I'm just, you know, cling to this raft, you know, it'll be okay. But then she's like, I'm going to die under here. I just have to let go and let the waves carry me where they will, and that's how I'm going to survive. So the Lord just brought that story back to me, because she just shared this with me a couple days ago, and was like, that's what I want to talk to you guys about this morning. If you want to be victorious, sometimes we just have to let go. And that's what we were talking about this morning. The battle belongs to the Lord. We're fighting, fighting, fighting. We're like, I'm going to win. I'm going to beat this thing. And the Lord's like, you know, I could do it so much quicker and so much better if you just let me, right? So here's the whole Psalm 46, 8 through 11 that I was just quoting from. It says, come see the works of the Lord, the desolation he brings on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns chariots with fire. Verse 10. So be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty, or the Lord of hosts, is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So God's saying, I'm coming to end the battle. Right? He says he's going to break the spears. He doesn't just say, you know, I'm going to ruin the enemy's weapons. He says, war is done. We don't need to be fighting anymore. The battle's already won. Right? So that verse where it says, be still, okay, in the Hebrew it means cease your striving. Wow, doesn't that sound awesome? Cease striving. And the other places, where it's used in the Bible is basically like give up, stop fighting, give yourself some slack is one of the other meanings of it. Let it drop is another definition. So give up, give in, abandon the fight, and surrender, because he fights for us, and he's the Lord of hosts. He has an entire army that we can't see, doesn't he? So we think that we're more powerful than that entire army that's at his disposal. Like, come on, why do we keep trying to take things over? I feel like the other day I was on a run, I felt like the Lord was like, this is kind of what I'm talking about. Like, have you ever seen a relay race? We have a baton and you're like, you know, you got to run it around and hand it to the next person, and they run it around and hand it to the next person. It's like we have this baton and we're like running and we're like, I'm going to take it the whole way. I'm going to do all 4 laps myself. I don't need any help, you know. And we're like battling through. We're like, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. And Jesus is like, you know, I could have taken it like a long time ago. I would have been there by now. You know, we could have like won, you know, but we're like, you know, fighting. And like, we put so much pressure on ourselves to perform, don't we? Yeah. And he doesn't demand that of us at all. He says, just give up. Just admit defeat and let me win the battle for you. Right? And that's so hard for us to do. But this is what it says in Hebrews 11. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe 2 things. Number 1, he is God. Number two, he rewards those who seek him, right? So if we want to please God, all we have to do is believe he is big, he is God, he is able, and number two, that he's going to be good to me, right? If I believe those two things, it's not so hard to let go, right? I believe he's going to get me there, and I believe he's able to get me there. And Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians 12. If you want to turn there, you can. You don't have to. But he says, it's when we're weak that we are actually strong, right? So 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. So he says, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Now that sounds weird, doesn't it? I'm going to explain that in a second. Verse 8, concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. So Paul says, most gladly then I will boast about my weaknesses, so the power of Christ can dwell in me. Therefore I am well content with weaknesses, insults, distresses, persecutions, difficulties, for Christ's sake. And then this is the key right here. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You know, I always misquoted that verse. I always thought it was, when I am weak, he is strong. But that's not what he says, is it? That is misquoted. It says, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Why? Because Christ's power is working through me and I don't have to muster up my own strength anymore, right? So this phrase, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. When you look up the word sufficient, it actually doesn't mean just enough. It means possessing an unfailing strength. Right? He gives us more than we need. His grace is sufficient. And then it says, his power is perfected in weakness. So the power is the ability, right? And we're here saying, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, right? And God's saying, just say, I know I can't, I need you, Lord, you know? And as soon as we do that, then we release something. We've released what we're carrying and we can allow him to carry it. But his power is perfected. And the word perfected there means carried out. It's kind of like that baton I was talking about. He can do it if we just give it to him, if we let it go, if we let him take it the rest of the way. And it's perfected or completed or carried out when we are weak, okay? Not when I am trying, right? It's when I've given up and said, just take it, Lord. So, this word strong means able, powerful, wealthy. We have more than enough, right? Succeeding and able to bear all things. So what does Paul say to do then? Okay, so he has this thorn in the flesh. He has this weakness. And does he say, but I'm not telling anybody what I'm struggling with because that's between me and God. He doesn't say that, does he? He tells us to do something that's really hard for us to do because why it's very humbling to do is to share our weaknesses with each other. He says, boast about them. How many of you are proud of your weaknesses? Anybody out there? I know I'm not. I'm very selective about the people I tell about my weaknesses. You know, like it's got to be someone I know is still going to love me later. Somebody that probably has the same problem as me, so they'll be like, you're fine, you know, we all have that problem. You know, we like are very selective, but that's not what he says to do. He says, boast about them. And this word boast actually means glory in them. Be proud of your weaknesses. That sounds really counterintuitive, doesn't it? But if we're ashamed of something, we hide it, don't we? So if we're ashamed of our weaknesses or we feel like they say something about us and our value, that's when we hide them and we're like, we don't want anybody to know about our weaknesses, right? But if we realize, you know what, the Lord still loves me and he can still use me, then we don't have to be afraid to share them. Did Paul say, oh, I have this thorn in my flesh, so I have to stop being a minister now. I have an issue. I got to go deal with it. No, he's still out there preaching. He's still out there being a minister. He's still out there living fully for Jesus and writing to churches. He's an apostle still. He doesn't see this as something that disqualifies him, right? And I think sometimes we really struggle with that. Like, oh, I can't do that. I have this problem that nobody knows about and I'm not going to tell anybody about, right? So we think we're not qualified to talk to somebody or minister to somebody or step out and share something that God's given us to share because we have an area of our life that's not perfect yet. But none of us is perfect. God still uses us. He was still using Paul, and he still used David after everything that he did, right? And he still loved David and said he was a man after God's own heart. So we have to be careful about disqualifying ourselves. And although this struggle that he says he got this thorn in the flesh, he says it's a messenger from Satan, but he said that it was given to him like a gift. Does that make sense? Is it from God or is it from the devil? You know, sometimes that's the balance we have to think about when we look at a weakness. And I was watching, I don't know if you guys have ever watched this show, the other day, Pawn Stars. Have you ever seen that? Yeah. I like to watch that show because they bring really interesting things into this pawn shop. Well, this man came in with this big, long spear, and he was all proud of it, and he puts it on the counter, and he's like, yeah, I got this spear. It's from World War II. The Japanese were using it. They were headhunting, and there's even some blood left on the spear. And, of course, the owner's like, gross, you know, but it was really valuable, and he had great stories behind it and whatever. And I felt like the Lord brought that to mind to me, where sometimes with our weaknesses, we don't see them as anything valuable because we feel like we're still in a battle. But World War II is over, right? Do we need to like be angry that there's this spear here or that it's in his possession? No, he was like, you know, this is kind of cool that I have this piece of history. But if we see the battle is over, it doesn't matter, right? That our weakness is there because it's just a remnant of something, right? The battle's already won. I already have victory over that thing. It's still hanging out here in my life, but it's just something I have. It's not who I am. So although the struggle is from the enemy, the war is over. It can't incapacitate us or cause us pain, our weaknesses. Instead, we can see it as valuable. So Paul's thorn or weakness, he says, helped him to be not conceited, right? Helped him realize, hey, even though I have all this power, I'm just like everybody else. I still struggle, right? I remember my best friend was a missionary in Peru for 8 years. And when she first went there, they had this house reserved for her. And it was a really nice house. You know, they were like, her and another missionary lived there together. And then my friend came home for like a couple months, and she went back. She said, please do not give me that nice house again. I was embarrassed to bring the Peruvians over to my house because her house was so much nicer than their houses. And she felt like, how can I relate to them, invite them to this big, nice house when they aren't living this way? You know, so when she went back, they gave her a little more humble of a home, and she felt more comfortable inviting people over. And they felt like they could relate to her better. Isn't that what our weaknesses do? They put us all on the same level. Like, you know what? We're all human. And we can relate to each other. And we don't have to be afraid to share our weaknesses because we can compare with each other. If I don't have a weakness in that same area, it's okay because I got a weakness in another area. We're all weak in some ways. And it's okay. We don't have to be ashamed of those things. So what 1 Thessalonians, Paul says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks for all things. So we can be thankful for our weaknesses. I don't know that that's easy to do, but sometimes it's something that we can remind ourselves of. But what would we rather do than tell everyone about our weaknesses hide them, of course, right? So when we ignore our weaknesses, we pretend they're not there, we kind of hide from reality, or we don't even want to talk to God because we're ashamed of our weaknesses, or we don't go to Him with our weaknesses, the other option is to hide or hoard them. So either we do this because we're ashamed and we're afraid that God's going to punish us or people are going to condemn us, or we do it because we're comparing ourselves with others. So I'm going to show you two people in the Bible real quick. The first is Achan. So if you have your Bible, you can turn to Joshua 7. I'm just going to read part of this story. So the story is Joshua is in charge of the Israelites now, and they are being very successful. They're city after city is coming down. They just had this great victory at Jericho, right? And Joshua's on a roll. He's like, we are winning battle after battle after battle. Let's go after this other town over there. And God had said, do not take any of the plunder from these cities that you're beating. Just obey me and keep moving on. So what happens? They go against the city and they lose. And it wasn't even like, actually, the town was so small, Joshua said, let's just send a couple hundred men. You know, we're going to win this one easily. And they lose. And he can't figure out why. So here we are in Joshua 7. Okay, so Joshua falls before God, says, I don't understand why we lost. Verse 6, he tore his clothes, fell face down before the ark of the Lord, stayed there till evening, sprinkled dust on his head. Lord, why did you ever bring us out just to destroy us? Right? He's getting very frustrated. Let's skip to verse 10. The Lord said, stand up. What are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. They violated my covenant. They have taken some of the devoted things, stolen and lied, and put them with their own possessions. Okay, so first of all, somebody took something from the enemy and brought it in to the camp, right? And now they got to figure out who it is. But they didn't have a metal detector back then to take around all the tents, right? Beep, 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 beep. Nope. So they have a Holy Spirit metal detector here. And they have all the men of Israel. And then God says which tribe they're from. So everyone not in that tribe leaves. And then that whole tribe comes up. And then he picks a family. And everyone else from the tribe goes away except that family. And then out of that family, God says it was Achan. You can't really hide when the Holy Spirit puts his finger on you, right? I know of a person who tried to get away with something as a teenager, said they were somewhere, were a totally different place, and the Holy Spirit told one of their parents where they were. It happens. Just saying. Anyways, so they find out that it is Achan. So let's go down to verse 20. So this is Joshua 7:20. Achan replied, it's true. I've sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I've done. When I saw in the plunder a beautiful robe from Babylon, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold that weighed 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. They're hidden in the ground inside my tent with the silver underneath. So then Joshua and his men go in. It's right, like he said, buried in his tent. And he gets stoned for doing so. And then Israel begins to win again. But the point of this story that I felt like the Lord really brought out to me was that Achan buried things as his own that belonged to the enemy and that the Lord had told him not to do. Put it in his own tent and didn't tell anyone, right? But God exposed it. If we're not going to tell people about what we're struggling with, eventually it gets exposed anyway, doesn't it? Like, you can't hide it forever, right? Luke says, there's nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, nothing hidden that won't be known, And whatever you whisper in your friend's ear in the inner room will be proclaimed from the rooftops. So, we can't hide it anyway, hoping no one will notice. But what happens is, when we hide things, they become precious to us, right? He was hiding this stuff, and he's like, this is my secret. This is something that I have that nobody knows about. And it's like precious, and he's holding it close. But if he, you know, had come back and said, oh man, guys, I made a mistake. I know God said I wasn't supposed to take these things, and I took them. What should I do? It would have been much easier for him, wouldn't it? He would have had the chance to repent and put it back or whatever. But sometimes this is what we do with our weaknesses. We hold them close to us. And we're like, this is part of who I am. Nobody needs to know about it. And we don't want to share it. But then it's something we end up not wanting to let go of because we think it's part of who we are. And we've buried it in our tent. And the other interesting thing I thought was, it said he put the silver underneath. And the word here for silver is talents, right? And if you guys remember the story of the talents, it's the same kind of concept. The man who was given one talent didn't go out and share it or give it and therefore get an interest on it. What did he do? He buried it in the ground, right? And then when the master came back and said, where's the talent I gave you? And did you get anything from it? Did you, you know, create something from the little that I gave you? He was ashamed. And instead of saying, please forgive me, Lord, he's like, well, I heard you're a terrible master, you know? And so I just felt like the Lord really wanted to impress on us today. If we hide our weaknesses, we're going to hold them too close, and we're going to hide the talent that he has given us underneath the things that he doesn't want us to carry, and they can't come out. And with the parable of the talent, I feel like this is the other reason we hide things, is because we compare ourselves. He was like, oh, I only got one. I can't go around town with my one talent. He got five, and that other guy got two. I only have one, you know? And we sometimes compare ourselves, and we're like, I'm not as good as that person. I can't do what they're doing. Or we do the opposite, and if you're, you know, you say, hey, I got five. He only got one, you know? And then we don't make as much as we could because we're not, you know, having a humble heart. But he could have invested that little, and the master would have been just as pleased with him as he was with the one that got five, right? And I felt like the Lord was telling me about this, that when we have something small, we can't despise it. Right, that's what it says in Zephaniah. Don't despise the day of small beginnings, because you could start out with one, and if you're consistent and investing, you could have 50 in 2 years or whatever. And maybe that guy that started out with five still only got five. So it doesn't matter what we start out with, right? It matters what we're allowing the Lord to make in our lives. So I feel like this morning, we're just going to talk to the Lord for a couple minutes about these things. Lord, what weakness in my life do you want me to bring into the light, as Marty was saying? It says we are in the light as he is in the light. Then we have fellowship with each other, right? If we're hiding our weaknesses, pretending that everything's okay, we don't really get to have heart-to-heart with each other, do we? We only show each other like what we want each other to see. And sometimes we need to hear each other's weaknesses so that we can pray for each other and we can feel encouraged. So this morning, as we spend some time with the Lord, I want you to ask him, what area of weakness, Lord, do you want me to surrender to you? What area have I been fighting and fighting, and you just want me to give up the fight and let you fight for me? And then who do you want me to talk to about this weakness that I'm struggling with, and share with them and have them pray for me and encourage me? So we're just going to take some time with the Lord now for the rest of our time together, for the next 5-10 minutes or so, and just want you to spend some time with him, giving up the fight, surrendering, and stop the striving and just allow him to love on you about this weakness and pour into you his truth about your worth, and that this weakness doesn't define you or limit you or disqualify you in any way, whatever it is.
So as we turn the music down a little softer, there were two things that Pastor Steph encouraged us to do. The first one was, you can just leave it quiet. The first one is that we say to the Lord, what weakness do you want me to share with somebody and ask them to be my prayer partner? And who is that? So I want to encourage you to keep asking that question and expecting to hear an answer, and then to be obedient and go and do that and say, hey, I really struggle with, and would you pray with me about that? And would you encourage me about that? And would you check in with me about that from time to time? But the other thing she asked that I think we can do as we're heading toward closing is, if there's something in your life that is not a weakness you need to deal with in that way, but it's something you just need to surrender to the Lord. Like it's that thing buried that you just need to dig up and say, here, Lord, I give it to you. So if it's anxiety, worry, fear, anger, hatred, bitterness, any of those things that he's placed his fingers on today, what he does with those is he does the great exchange. So you can just say, Lord, I'm lifting up to you today. I've dug it up. I've admitted it's there. There's anxiety, there's fear, there's hatred, there's anger, there's bitterness. And I give that thing to you. And as I give that thing to you, I hand it to you. Maybe I have to throw it at your feet. Maybe I have to lay it at the base of the cross. But I want to get rid of that thing today. I don't want to leave here with it. I came with it, but I don't want to leave with it. Maybe it's a lack of hope. Maybe it's unrest. There's so many things it could be, but as the Lord puts his finger on it, give it to him. Surrender. And say, I give that thing to you. Father, what do you give me in return? And he can give you peace. He can give you joy. He can give you strength. When his peace comes in, it completely settles the storm. There is no storm. If you're carrying sadness and you give it to him, when he exchanges it, he may exchange it for joy. Joy that is there in his presence all the time. If it's bitterness or hatred, okay, God, forgive me for carrying bitterness. Forgive me for carrying hatred. And what do you give me in exchange? He could give you love. He could actually give you love for that person so that you could pray now for that person instead of having hate or anger or bitterness. So, Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that's been present with us, even from early morning prayer throughout today. And that you, through the worship, you through the word, you through prayer, you through the message, spoke to us over and over again today, that the battle is yours, that you want to come alongside us, that you want us to go forward into victory, but you also told us that part of that is bringing things to light. Not hiding them, not pretending they're not there, not despising them and not treasuring them, but bringing them to the light and confessing them and repenting from them and giving them up and saying, Lord, I want to walk away from that thing. So forgive me for having fear and bitterness and anger and hatred and anxiety, and I want to walk away from that. I want to walk into the light and into victory today. So we thank you, Father, for all that you've accomplished, and Jesus, for the things that you've started today, because you're the one that starts the work, but you're also the one that finishes the work. So you're going to leave here with us, and this week when we're in prayer, this week when we're worshiping, this week when we're in your word, you're going to continue the process. This week, you just reminded me, when we check in with one another, you're going to finish the process. When we call that person that you brought to mind, that we're to ask to pray for us and to partner with us to freedom, and when we call someone to check on them this week, when we call Ed and Cheryl and Frank and Karen and Jack and Nancy and Karen Valick, when we call them this week to check in on them, you're going to continue the process of victory in our lives and victory in their lives. And the family of God said, amen, amen, amen. You're dismissed. Have a great day.